Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of our FootballDiehards.com podcast. I'm Jeff Renetti here with your Monday edition, and it is the final week as we head into final week of the playoffs. So good luck, everybody, in joining us as he does each and every Monday. He's been providing you with all that great information on the website, the senior editor of Football Diehards. It's Bob Harris. Bob, hope your weekend was good. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Hope you're doing well, too. Hope you're having great success in all your leagues that you're in the playoffs in.
So far, so good. I'm looks like I advanced in two of them, and you know, so the odds are with me in a couple of these leagues. But a good week nonetheless. And I'll tell you, you know, looking through some of the numbers, preparing for this, this was the week when some of the guys that got you there really did step up. I mean, we'll talk about several throughout the week. But how about first of all, a guy that starts the season suspended for the first 2 weeks? How big has Steve Smith for Carolina been? I mean, you look at what D'Angelo Williams has done, and that's unbelievable. He's been one of the better pickups you could have all year. But, boy, Steve Smith has performed just like an absolute wide receiver stud this year.
Yeah, he's really come on, and he's done everything you would expect. And, the whole Panther passing attack, I thought, was very impressive. I mean, they had a huge average, I think 17 yards a pop at one point yesterday. But Smith at 9, you know, for 165 yards and touchdown, those are the kind of numbers you're looking for from your lead receiver. It's an Andre Johnson kind of day, Steve Smith kind of day, and who would have guessed a Dennis Northcutt kind of day, if only we'd all known. Smith is really, you know, he's come through. The Panthers' passing attacks have been a little uneven, but they've really come,
yeah.
You know, he and Jake Delhomme have really come on and got it together. When it counts the most for fantasy owners, it's something we should all remember going forward. You file this away in your memory bank, make a little note of it. They seem to get a little stronger as the season goes on.
Another guy, the guy that I was the most wrong about this year, I thought it'd be good, but not this good. Michael Turner gets number 15 touchdowns for Atlanta this year. Now, granted, Roddy White went out of the game, and it was a pretty good defensive game, so the scoring kept low, so the running yards and that went up. But, boy, he got to the end zone again. And what a season he has had, really helping fantasy owners. I'm sure while he's headed towards the playoffs, he's helped a lot of teams get there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you look at him this week going in, he's a good play. The Buccaneers were coming off a horrible game. They'd given up, you know, 300 yards nearly to the Panthers rushing attack. You know, the Bucs defense going into the previous week's game was the top-ranked rushing defense in the game, in the league. And so you thought maybe they would come back and buckle down a little bit. And they had no answer for Turner, and he just plowed through them. We'll have to note that the one touchdown came after Jarius Norwood just got held out right at the cusp of the goal line on a little swing pass. But hey, however you get it, it's fine. And he was definitely the engine that's running that offense, especially during the second half. I mean, they just rode him, and that's, you know, again, you file that away. You know, for the guys who aren't in the playoffs right now, you know, this is scouting time. And these are times you got to remember next year when you're in the playoffs, you want to start getting a little bit of background information together so you can start putting together data points saying, okay, who's playing their guys late in the season? Who's getting counted on late in the season? Who are teams relying on? Because, you know, when you see a head coach, you know, build that trust in a player, I mean, that's going to last. You know, that's not something that's just going to be for this week or next week. They show these trends. I mean, I think that's what we're looking for at this point of the year, especially the guys who are, you know, we're in scouting mode, as many are. You start looking for the guy. You know, you start doing your scouting. You start seeing who's trusted, who's getting the job done late in games, who are coaches going to when it counts the most for them.
A couple of matchups I thought would be good going into this past week with Peyton Manning and the Colts playing the Lions, and I thought Matt Castle coming off the passing of his father, but he did play and was decided to play about midweek or towards the end of the week. They went up against Oakland. How did you think those two quarterbacks performed?
Oh, I thought both performed very admirably. Peyton Manning, you know, very solid game. Would have liked to have seen a little more scoring, but, you know, Dominic Rhodes got two. Chaz Simpson got one that I hoped Rhodes might get. You know, Matt Castle, hey, career-high 4 touchdowns. There's something to be said for playing in Oakland. The way Oakland runs their coverages, you know, they don't keep their best player on the other team's best player. You know, there's some defensive philosophies there that perhaps Lane Kiffin even mentioned at some point that just, you know, that make it conducive for certain teams, you know, especially teams that are well-coached to pick that defense apart, especially teams that are well-coached that have Randy Moss and Wes Welker. and Matt Castle benefited from all those things. And a very strong running game, you know, Sam Morris and Lamont Jordan both. So, hey, if you're going into a title game and you're in a bit of a pinch and you're, you know, your top running back isn't where you need him to be or something, you know, you start making desperation plays, you can make worse ones with looking at the Patriots.
I want to keep it on quarterbacks for a moment with a guy that, look, the team's still fighting to stay in the playoff hunt with Denver's loss, San Diego's still in it. How good has Philip Rivers been with the sort of, you know, he's been fine at times, we're talking about Tomlinson, he's been fine at times but not the number one best player overall. Rivers has really made some of those fantasy numbers jump out. He has had a great season, and what a week for guys that got to start him this week in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, as I watched that game early, it was, you know, I was a little worried. I thought he was going to get thrown out at one point easily. You know, he's an emotional, fiery guy, but he ends up hitting the two touchdowns. I think one of the big keys for him has been, you know, one of the problems for fantasy owners in that LaDainian Tomlinson and Antonio Gates haven't been the guys they've been in the past. That's due in part to other guys becoming more. You know, Malcolm Floyd, Vincent Jackson, more notably, Darren Sproles. And given Philip Rivers more options and maybe cutting into the top, you know, the top guys, the work of the top guys, I mean, Antonio Gates and Chris Chambers both talked about it over the last weekend, both, you know, trying not to get frustrated. But the truth is, when Vincent Jackson is finally emerging as a player we expect him to be, Malcolm Floyd can come in and make plays. You don't have to rely on one or two guys in the offense. And it's worked out well for Rivers, and it's worked out well for the Chargers. Lately.
A guy that helped a lot of teams get to the playoffs has had a couple of, you know, good but just average for him weeks. Kurt Warner doesn't get over 300, just the one touchdown as Arizona sort of embarrassed at home. And I talked to, you know, both Mike Jones and Joe Hebert throughout the week about, you know, Jackson getting the start in Minnesota. You didn't think much would come. I don't think anyone thought that this kind of production would come. But, boy, think of the guys out there that had maybe an injury problem or it came down to one or two people and they decided to throw him in there. What a week they had if you were gutsy enough to make that play.
You know, I think one of the things that I noticed for the call, and, yeah, Tarvarius Jackson, I mean, you know, obviously when you go into these situations, people are, you have to consider the wide range of situations people are in. Most of us are comfortable with who our players are. But let's say you had an issue where, you know, your quarterback was all of a sudden gone. You had to make a decision. Do you go with a Seneca Wallace? Do you go with a Tyler Thigpen? Do you go with a Tarvarius Jackson? I don't think Tarvarius Jackson was particularly high on that list going into the game. But one of the things I've noticed about Arizona, and I think that is interesting to watch, is Anquan Boldin has kind of disappeared, and not just yesterday, but I mean, he has zero touchdowns, two lost fumbles in the last 3 weeks, number of drop passes, which is very unusual for him. So, you know, I mean, I think when you look at Arizona on the whole, you tend to look at Kurt Warner and say, wow, his numbers weren't that great. Well, take a look at Anquan Boldin's numbers, and that tells you a little bit of why Warner's numbers are so good.
No doubt about it. Now, a couple of guys that have been letdowns, especially this is the time when you don't need it. Injury problems continue to affect running backs out there. Frank Gore didn't play. That's a killer because he's been pretty good, and the Niners had been a little resurgent lately in that game. Good weather game in Miami, that would have been fun to have Gore. And then you wrote, I thought the headline said it all, Steven Jackson starts with a good week and just couldn't finish it out. A real opportunity to get some more points. You know, he did okay for you, but it could have been better for Jackson.
Yeah, he's fading, and you know better than I do. The locals are taking him to task a bit, and rightfully so. I mean, hey, the guy gets a huge contract, makes great proclamations on any number of things, and, you know, hey, I've talked to the guy. He seems like a really cool guy. But, you know, at some point, you got to start delivering, especially when you hold out, get the huge money. If you don't want to sit there and say, okay, maybe the holdout wasn't a good idea. Maybe it's left me a little bit short here late in the season, or, you know, if at least own up to what's going on. And not, you know, not get upset at your interim coach for pointing out the lowlights.
No doubt about it. Now, a couple things before we let you go. A lot of expectations were on that Cowboys and Giants game. Some things emerged with Romo playing a pretty good game. It looks like they put some things behind us. But what do you think about the, you know, choice as far as anyone that picked him up? And then the Giants, just an offensive letdown. You look across the board. What did you take out of that game?
It's interesting. I mean, obviously the Giants were without, you know, Brandon Jacobs and Plaxico Burress. You know, there was a lot of chatter about how defenses would play the Giants different with Plaxico Burress out and Dominic Kickson out in. It didn't really happen that way the first week. It looked like that wasn't the issue last night. It looked like more like, you know, the offensive line, which was the, you know, basically the best part of that whole offense for most of the season, is starting to take some hits, and they're starting to wear down a little bit. And I think that's going to be the issue to watch for with the Giants. Is the offensive line holding up the last few weeks? Are they going to, you know, I would suggest they're going to, you know, they're not going to be too worried about resting people if they need to across the board. We can hope Brandon Jacobs comes back. As for the Cowboys, hey, Deshard Choice is proving he can be a good contributor. I think he'll continue to contribute over the last couple weeks. Looks like everybody is happy now, except maybe Ed Werder. Maybe not so happy.
Yeah.
A big fan.
The worst.
Not only by T.O., but my favorite part was Deion Sanders coming on the NFL Network afterwards and saying, yes, Ed Werder is a liar, when Ed Rich Eisen is sitting next to him saying, no, he's not. I work for
Yeah.
But I'll remind you that Deion Sanders also told us the police set T.O. up in the great suicide attempt mystery.
Yes.
And Deion Sanders also told us Mike Vick loved his dogs just in a different way.
Yes, the what a great broadcaster he has become. But
hey,
before
awesome.
We let you, yeah, just so bad. And poor Ed Werder, one of the worst beats in all of reporting. But no, final thing for you with the game tonight. You know, this comes down to a lot of things. You know, the one of the leagues I'm in, there's you know, the other playoff game. It's down to four teams. Not my game, but the two teams that the other guys are playing in. One guy's got Donovan McNabb and Philadelphia defense. I mean, so much resting on tonight's game. Cleveland, not a lot of expectations. Philadelphia at home needs this game to continue playing well, but you've got McNabb, you've got Westbrook, you've got a lot of players. Your thoughts on tonight's game and matchup?
Balance for the Eagles. I'm going to ignore the Cleveland Browns because, you know, you might as well. I mean, with Ken Dorsey a quarterback, they're not playing well enough to get too excited about anyone. If Joshua Cribbs is the biggest fantasy prospect there, that tells you where things stand. For the Eagles, it's balanced. They, you know, they've been doing a better job of it, obviously, since McNabb came back from the benching. I think what Peter King wrote this morning, you don't win with McNabb or anyone throwing 46 times a game. You don't win letting Westbrook carry it 16 times a game. That is true. And the Eagles have figured it out, too. And that's good for all of us. Ride Westbrook. I think McNabb should have a solid game, too.
Well, Bob, we appreciate your time and all your great work this season. Your work is not done as far as the website this week, but then next week, we'll into January and February, we'll try to do some podcasts, some analysis on you know, the NFL playoffs and looking forward to next year. And hopefully next week we'll do a little recap with all of our guys. But thanks so much for your regular visits here on Mondays.
All right, man. Thank you, Jeff.
That is Bob Harris, the senior editor of FootballDiehards.com. I'm Jeff Vernetti. We will have more updates for you this week for all of you trying to advance into your playoffs and do much, much better in this championship game week. We'll have some analysis from Mike Jones and Joe Hebert throughout the weeks. Two more times this week. Next week we'll do some recap stuff, and just stay tuned to FootballDiehards.com for all of that information. For Bob Harris, I'm Jeff Vernetti. So long till midweek, everybody. We'll talk to you later.